Hello, gorgeous.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Jessica Harlow podcast. In case you're new here, I'm your host, Jessica Harlow. I'm probably best known for being a content creator in the beauty and self-help space. I'm here every week sharing the things that I wish I knew sooner, the shit your enemies probably don't want you to know, and stuff that actually benefits you. So many people spend most of their lives admiring beautiful, happy, successful people, sometimes even envying them. Instead, why not figure out how to join them? I created this podcast as an easy way for me to share whatever I think can help you create a life that you love on your own terms. Not what anybody else wants you to think your life needs to look like, but what you want it to look and feel like, and deciding what that even means for you. I also recently released an ebook called Rewrite Your Life, which is all about the power of perspective and getting enough of the clarity that you need so that you can create and even recreate your life at any time. You can find it on my website by going to jessicaharlow.com/book. Again, that's jessicaharlow.com/book. I'll put a link in the show notes for you. If you have already purchased, make sure to check your spam folders because it's been going in there for a number of people. But anyway, let's get into this week's episode because I've got a lot on my mind, honey. So something that I've brought up a number of times on this show lately is the importance of boundaries, giving up people pleasing, and being selfish, the importance of being selfish, why being selfish is actually the very best thing that you can do for yourself, or at least one of the very best things that you can do for yourself. I view being selfish as probably the best form of self-care possible because it's all about you, which it should be because it all starts with you, at least for you. Right? Your life all begins and ends with you. So if you're someone who feels like you're always or just often overextending yourself and getting little to nothing in return, few if any of your needs met, you probably most likely have challenges setting boundaries and put making other people happy before making you happy. I think a lot of us have even been at points in our lives where maybe we felt like I barely ask for anything and I'm not getting anything. And sometimes the thing is, when you don't really ask for a lot, it's kind of a reflection of, like, Madonna has something where she says, if you don't ask, the answer will always be no. Well, sometimes I feel like people only ask just up to what they think they deserve. Maybe slightly outside of that, maybe slightly feel like they're reaching a little bit. But for the most part, I feel like people only ask for and command, I guess, just up to what they think they deserve. And I think that's something worth really thinking about. Think about where in your life maybe you feel like you're not asking for much and can't understand why your needs aren't getting met. Well, maybe it might be because you're actually asking for too little and it's not reflecting well on you. So it's not really inspiring to give to those underselling themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like a respect thing goes with that. And I know that's like a hard truth, but you know, you got to face some hard truths sometimes before you can really make anything magical happen in your life. So as I was saying, if you're somebody who often feels like you're overextending yourself and not really getting much in return, probably means that you have some boundaries. It probably means you have some boundary issues, like challenges, setting boundaries, and put making other people happy before making yourself happy. We've all done it, okay? We've all done it. I mean, haven't you noticed that when you do that, you eventually get to a point where you almost start harboring some bitterness and resentment, and then you start taking it out on other people, or you start reacting in ways that are different. And it's not that you're wrong for feeling that way, but it's almost like misplaced anger because it's like for them, for the other person or the other people, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? And it's not right. And it's not cute. And here's the thing. We teach people how to treat us. We've heard this a number of times, right? We teach people how to treat us by the way that we treat ourselves, by what we allow, what we tolerate, because the things that we allow and the things that we tolerate are what we end up inviting. Okay. So if we're constantly overextending ourselves for others, overextending for others before we're doing really much for ourselves, that subconsciously communicates to others and ourselves that we are overextenders, that we are people pleasers, and we're practically announcing who we are. Okay, this is how we are introducing ourselves. So if someone were to introduce themselves to you as Bob, and you refer to them as Bob, but then they get angry and tell you, well, my name is Roger, would it make any sense for them to be angry with you about that? No. it's very similar when we're talking about how we communicate our perception of ourselves to other people. When you're showing someone that you're one thing, but you're actually another, and are mad at being treated the way that you presented yourself, I mean, can you be mad? Yeah, but like I said, it's not with them, it's with you, okay? It's misplaced anger. It's really hard to deal with being angry at ourselves, but it's very important because when you are letting yourself down, that's a really hard thing to allow yourself to keep doing and participating in. You know, it's a hard thing to keep going on when you realize it. So a lot of people, you know, feel bad about being angry, but negative emotions are kind of there. Not kind of. I feel like negative emotions really help to serve a purpose. They help to show you where you need to work on things within yourself first, because you can't really expect to see any external changes in your life, whether you want to look at this from a, you know, very practical perspective, or you want to look at it from like a spiritual law of attraction type of perspective. You can't really expect the outside, your external life, to change very much, your personal experiences to change very much, if you aren't changing things within yourself. So whenever you get angry, it's kind of best to look at it as, what is this here to teach me? Like, what do I need to work on within myself? I have been more angry with myself than I have ever been with other people or circumstances, because I'm like, holy shit, I'm screwing myself over here. And the thing is, you don't always... It wasn't like I always came to this conclusion right away. That's something that, ooh, it's taken practice, girl. It has taken practice, and it still takes practice to this day, because naturally when we feel angry, it's kind of like we just attack on the outside. You know what I mean? We start reacting to things instead of thinking, well, how can I respond differently? Like, how can I respond differently in a way that serves me better? Okay, rather than, you know, putting everybody else or other circumstances, you know, putting the spotlight on them. How do you fix this? Okay, so we've identified the problem, right? We've identified that there is a problem, and something needs to change. Okay, so once you've identified the problem, it's important to not dwell on that, but rather go to the solution. Think about the solution. What does the solution feel like? What would you be like? What would you feel like? What would you think like? How would you be different if this was solved? Okay. I always say it's important to not focus on problems. It's important to just get to the problem just enough so that you are aware of what needs to be different. And then focus all of your attention on not finding the solution, but just like being the solution. Okay. So a very simple thing is something that Jay-Z has said: allow me to reintroduce myself. Now, if you do it all at once and make a huge announcement, that could be wildly jarring to people around you. And rightfully so. It's actually very insensitive to do that, because you've got to give the people around you an adjustment period. Okay? I know it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't feel fun, but it's necessary, and it's probably the most loving and compassionate way for everyone involved, including yourself, including the other people. That's what I mean by everybody involved. So I always say it's best to teach through actions in very simple, simple language, not accusatory, like, you did this and you don't appreciate and you, and here's what you did wrong and here's what I don't like that you're doing. No. You have to make it about you and about how you feel. Like, I feel this way. This is how I'm viewing it. This is my perspective. So this is how things are going to be from now on. And it's very important to have the consequence. Now, consequence sounds like a very strong word. It doesn't always necessarily need to be a very strong and heavy word, but there has to be some kind of a, well, if this continues, then I'm going to have to do this. And you have to do that, because if you don't hold up that quote unquote consequence, there's really no sense or initiative in the other person to even keep anything up. So in a sense, when you are setting a boundary, you're not only setting a boundary with another person for what they need to do, but you also have to hold up your end, okay? If they don't hold up theirs, you got to hold up yours regardless. So when you're setting a boundary, it's really, I come across a quote that said, you know, boundaries are the distance between, you know, where I can love myself and you at the same time. very, very important to understand that about boundaries. It's not just about other people. It really is a lot about you. You can't expect people to just honor boundaries right away, even the most well-meaning people, because people naturally, it's in human nature, they're going to want to get away with as much as they possibly can. Not consciously, not always consciously. Sometimes it's just subconsciously. People are going to get away with as much as they're going to get away with. It's just like if you get a bill in the mail and it's $1,000, you're not going to pay $1,200. Or if the bill is $1,000, but they're like, you know, if you feel like just paying $500, we'll call it a day, you wouldn't pay the full $1,000. Do you understand what I mean? Even if you're a well-meaning, well-intentioned person, you're gonna want to get away with paying as little as possible. Does that really paint the picture for you? Doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. It's just like, well, that's what you asked for, so, or you said this was okay, or this seems okay based on what you showed me and presented me with. So I actually have an episode that's all about boundaries that you can revisit, and I'll link it in the show notes for you guys because it was a few episodes ago. But one thing that's very important to remember with boundaries is that they are going to be tested. It's very easy to have them in place with new people and scenarios because it's just like you're setting the foundation already. But with people and circumstances that you've trained differently at first, and like now having to retrain them, it is a little bit trickier, okay? It's not impossible, but it is trickier. But here's the thing though, not everyone is going to be okay with your boundaries, and you kind of have to accept that. You kind of have to accept that. And that's what makes setting boundaries very difficult and makes people hesitate in setting them or resetting them. It's because the hardest people to have boundaries with and to enforce them with are the people that we have like closest to us. And the thing is, those people know that inherently they know that it's going to be difficult for us. Even if they themselves aren't totally conscious of it, they know that you don't want to lose them or push them away. Okay, they know that they've got a pull on you, right? But this is where it is especially important to have those boundaries, because when you don't have them, you're really only going to be sacrificing yourself more and more and more and more, which is not going to feel good. It's not going to feel good. And that's only going to create even more anger and resentment. And if you're not good at managing that in a way that makes sense, you're going to end up just, again, like blowing up on people. And that's not right. So, and you know what? Think about it this way. If you're having trouble with setting boundaries, think about the people that you respect the most. They probably have boundaries. Ooh, and they have good ones. And you know that you can't just get away with just anything. You know that you can't demand just anything. You know you can't just expect just anything from these people, right? These tend to be the people that you probably have the most respect for. So why would I expect anyone to respect me if I don't have strong boundaries, if I don't have really good boundaries and limits in place? Guys, it took me 29 years to realize that I'd rather be respected than liked, because there is no such thing as being liked and not being respected, as being liked and not being appreciated and not being respected. I mean, where there isn't respect, there's probably very likely not much else, okay? And you realize this after the adjustment period, because look, not all people are bad and not all people are trying to take advantage of you. Most of the time, people are just following your lead blindly and have just simply become accustomed to expecting certain responses and behavior from you. That's why the adjustment period is so important, because it allows them the time to recalibrate and adjust. And I will say that any decent human being, if they realize that you felt disrespected by them, even if it was totally unintentional and circumstantial, as long as you're not doing it, like letting them know in an attacking kind of way, any decent human being will readjust themselves, okay? Because those who knew what they were doing all along, okay? Those who knew what they were doing all along will be like, well, I guess this person is no longer of use to me. They no longer serve my needs as a doormat that I've always dreamed of. And they'd be like, well, it's time to go. Okay. So that's the difference. A decent human being with your genuine best interests at heart will apologize if it's necessary, but at minimum, they will adjust out of respect. Okay. Does that make sense? The person who didn't have your best intentions will not. Neither person has to do anything. Nobody has to do anything, but the person that is, that does have your best interests and is not intentionally trying to take advantage of you, they're going to adjust because they're going to want to respect you and they're going to want to make sure that you feel respected and they're going to support you in respecting yourself. Okay. So selfishness is very, very important. It's very important to be selfish with your time and your energy. And as a recovering people pleaser, I know this to be so true. Because when you keep watering other people's plants before you're watering your own, well, what's your garden going to look like? Eventually, it's going to look kind of dead, right? So it's critical. It's critical to be selfish, especially with those that are closest to you. I'm going to repeat that. It's critical to be selfish, especially with those closest to you. Why? Because the people closest to you have the most access to you. So they can drain you of your time and energy faster than just about anybody else can. But also, they are the ones that will probably benefit the most from the fruits of your selfishness. So if you're selfish about your growth and your expansion, whether it's personally, professionally, whatever the case, those closest to you will benefit from your benefits. Your friends, your family, your lovers, sometimes these people will enjoy the fruits of your labor even more than you will. Think about it. Like, for example, the classic story of, let's say, the man who's super successful and works really hard for his family. He maybe never really gets much time to enjoy, you know, the homes, the vacations, the toys, and whatever else comes along with his success and the fruits of his labor nearly as much as his spouse, his children, the dog, whatever. So consider how your successes and achievements could benefit those closest to you, and then reconsider how you feel about being selfish. Okay, so think about how being selfish will benefit you and how those benefits in turn will benefit those closest to you. And I bet you that will make a very huge difference in your perspective about being selfish, even and especially when it comes to those who are closest to you. So it's very good to be selfish. This isn't me saying to be, you know, to completely disregard other people and their feelings and treat them like they're peasants in your kingdom or queendom. Like, I'm not talking about this in a very Machiavellian type of way. But this is why boundaries are so important, because you get to decide how much time and energy you can really afford to give out and to whom and when, okay? Where you might be overextending yourself or overinvesting yourself or over being just overly available at your own expense. That's the key, at your own expense. What's it costing you? And also consider where you may need to set some boundaries, some healthy boundaries with yourself. Oh yes, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for you. Sometimes people pleasers, codependents, I know it's such an ugly word, but it is what it is. They tend to get so wrapped up in feeling responsible for others that they blindly assume that the same consideration is going to be extended back to them if and when they need it. And that's not always the case, nor should it be. There always has to be a give and take. And at the end of the day, you get to decide what is right for you and what makes sense for you. This is how you take your power back. You might notice that if you scale it back, even around like 25 to 50% with most people, if not all the people in your life, you're going to have so much more time and energy for yourself that you maybe don't even know what to do with at first. Okay. Because this is part two of this. It's very interesting how, and I always say this, we never do anything that we don't subconsciously or consciously see benefit in. The thing with people pleasers is, and I say this as a recovering people pleaser, we are probably running from ourselves or running from giving ourselves what we need most. Sometimes people pleasing can be a form of procrastination. What does this person want? Who they want me to be? How can I be more of this or that for them? I hope they like me. I hope that I make them happy. I don't want them to think I'm this or that, or I don't want them to think that I'm selfish or that I don't care. I mean, how ridiculous and exhausting are these thought patterns? How would you be able to have anything left to give for yourself after all of that? Because those thoughts, even before you've even done anything, the thinking about it is already just exhausting enough. So what might you be avoiding? What might you be procrastinating from? Could it be maybe it's something that could potentially cause you to be maybe disliked or unloved because maybe the success might make you less available, less giving. Maybe it might set you apart in a way from people that you really love and care for. You see, sometimes people tend to tie being super giving as a way to be loved. And that's kind of a form of manipulation if you think about it. And it's also delusional. Love isn't something that anybody necessarily earns. It's an act, it's a feeling, it's an appreciation, and the thing is, no one appreciates what they become used to. People talk a lot about gratitude, but I'm gonna get shit for this, I know that. But gratitude is not a natural human emotion. Gratitude is not a natural human emotion. Hear me out. Gratitude places things on a pedestal, and that's not what people want. We don't want anything to be on a pedestal. We want what is on the pedestal, but if we get it, it's no longer on the pedestal. It's kind of like whenever you, like, if you've ever been in a scenario where you really wanted something, finally got it, and then all of a sudden you're just like kind of over it and on to the next thing. That's human nature. Like, we're always supposed to be wanting more, going to the next thing. And it can be very disappointing when you've put something on a pedestal, get it, and you realize that wasn't even the thing that you wanted because you maybe wanted it for the wrong reasons. So we want what is on the pedestal, but if we have it, we no longer put it on the pedestal because it just becomes part of what we're accustomed to after a certain point. So be very careful about being too predictable, being too dependable, because it can really trap you into having to keep that up. And it can also be very restrictive and exhausting and eventually just lead you into being the thing that was maybe once on a pedestal and no longer is. So you have to remember that you are not a service. In your personal life, you are not a service. You are a human experience. And don't allow anyone to get used to too much comfort. Be selfish. There is value in that, okay? So it's not only going to potentially inspire and encourage other people to respect you, but it will inspire and encourage you to respect yourself. And at the end of the day, that's what the most important thing is. Because if you don't have respect for yourself, you've got nothing. And other people's respect will mean nothing from that sense, because then they just, all these outside circumstances become the source instead of you being and starting out as your own source. And what did we say? We teach people how to treat us by the way that we treat ourselves, and only good can come from that. And also another thing that could be really, really helpful in setting boundaries is to give yourself time to say yes or no, or to committing to something. So much of the time we may say yes out of like a knee-jerk reaction or just the initial excitement in the moment. And then shortly afterwards, we're like, wait a minute, what did I just agree to? What did I just sign myself up for? And then we feel stuck, okay? Especially if you're somebody who, like, you're a person of your word, okay? Like, I'm a person of my word. It really, like, I hate when I've said yes to something and then I don't feel like saying yes anymore because I'm a person of my word. I believe that if I say yes to something, I must follow through because I expect the same in return. So that's why it's gotten very much to the point where I have to remind myself, remember what yes feels like. And that's not an idea that I got for myself. I actually came across this in a clip from Oprah like a few weeks ago or something, where she said that she has a note on her desk that says, remember what yes feels like. Remember what yes feels like. Ooh, that was powerful for me. Look, you can't say yes to everything. A no is really just a yes to something else. Think about what a real, true yes feels like for you, okay? A true yes feels like a fuck yes. And in my opinion, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a hell no in most cases, okay? It's a hell no, and at best, it's a maybe. You can't say yes to everything. And when you say no, you're just saying yes to other things. But when you say yes, you are saying no to other things. You have to really make sure that the things that are in the yes pile and the things that are in the no pile, based on any decision or anything that you sign up for, you have to make sure that they make sense for you, and you will save yourself a lot of time, energy, and sometimes even money, and also sanity. And guess what? You can't put a price on sanity. You can't put a price on peace. Those things are priceless. And they are priceless for a reason, okay? And believe me, you can be a hell of a lot of a better giver when you are selfish, because you will likely have a hell of a lot more to give. You will have a hell of a lot more to have given already to yourself. When you've already given yourself, you've already given to yourself, already filled your own cup to the point of you don't really necessarily need anything from any other external, you know, sources. And all of those other things become just an addition to, you know, whatever you've already got. That's when you can really be truly generous. Okay, when your cup is already full, when you're not really operating from a full cup, only give. Like, whatever's in the cup is for you, whatever overflows, that is what you can gladly and happily give to others, okay? And that's true generosity. That's true generosity. So that's all I have to say for this week's episode of the Jessica Harlow Podcast. If you like this episode or any episode of the podcast so far, please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. I like 5 stars. I'm just going to let you know, hint, hint, I really get excited with 5 stars. If you don't have iTunes, if you're not an Apple user, you can also share this podcast with a friend or anyone that you know. Whatever you do to help the show grow, please screenshot it or take a photo. Give me some kind of evidence and email it to me at hellogorgeous@jessicaharlow.com. Again, that's hellogorgeous@jessicaharlow.com. And in return, you will be getting lots of free content from me, such as my hair care tips and secrets for growing the longest and healthiest hair of your life, and so much more exclusive content that's not available absolutely anywhere else. In the meantime, thank you all so much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.